Psalm chapter 128 this morning, Psalm chapter 128. We continue and jump right back in our series on the songs of ascents, and these are the songs that Israel would sing as they traveled to worship a God at the temple in the Old Testament times. But if you think about it, everyone is looking for the blessed life, the blessed life. No one enjoys feeling like their life is cursed or that they're barely scraping by. We want to be blessed because, of course, we consider the blessed life the good life, so to say. And if you think about it, this desire for the blessed life is what drives what most people do. And maybe they're striving to get good grades with the purpose in order to have the good life someday. And maybe they seek a spouse in order to be happy, or they search for that ideal job that's going to just make the blessings flow. And they buy things, they attend events, they have friends, they do hobbies, all so they can attain that happy state that they long for. And when you boil it down, much of the lives of many people is this hunting for a life of blessing. You know, you think about even some people who are discouraged and some who may be depressed are depressed or discouraged because they feel like they do not have that blessed life. Now, as you think about this, there's nothing inherently wrong with looking to be blessed. God has made us with this desire to want to be blessed. I mean, just think back with me to Adam and Eve, right? They started out in this blessed state when God created them in the beginning. But because of their sin, they lost that blessed state and they plunged us into a cursed state, so to say, the cursed sin, cursed world. And so since mankind has lost that blessed state, no wonder we long to get back to it. We live in a cursed world where things aren't right. Things are marred and messed up. And yet, the wondrous story of Scripture is that through Christ, God is seeking to bring us back to that blessed state, which will culminate, of course, in the new heavens and the new earth. And so you think about that, to long to be blessed is normal. It's natural. It's not sinful in itself to want to be blessed, because really it's what we as humans began with, this blessed state, what we lost, and what we with eternal life will experience fully someday. But the question is, what about today? What about right now? Can we experience a state of blessing today, even amid living in a fallen world? And the answer is most certainly yes. You think about Scripture. What does it say? Psalm 1, blessed is the man. Jesus in the Beatitudes says, blessed are, and then he goes on to explain who's blessed. And of course, in our text this morning, it says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. In fact, the psalm this morning is really going to be all about this blessed life of what it looks like, especially in the Old Testament time period. And so living in a state of blessing is possible in this side of heaven, albeit not fully, as we will experience it in heaven someday. And therefore, if longing for blessing is normal, why is it that large swaths of humanity do not find the blessing that they are looking for? And the answer is they're looking in all the wrong places. They search for that blessed state in money, in fame, in power, in popularity, in comfort, in beauty, and health, and experiences, but they ultimately come up short. And some people, who have these things, they make it appear like they have the blessed life. They make it appear they have the blessed life to many people who look in on their lives and they ooh and awe at the perfectly curated life that they have on social media, but they are not truly blessed, at least many of them. And so amidst all of this longing, amidst all of this failing to hit the mark of blessedness by many people, the question is, okay, then where is true blessing found? And the answer from our passage this morning is, of course, the Lord. Let's read the Psalm 128, starting in verse 1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house, and your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. This psalm is all about blessing, and it shows us a couple things. And the first thing I want to tackle is true blessing comes from the Lord. True blessing comes from the Lord. And we see that in verses 1 to 4, the main portion of the psalm. It's found in the Lord. But have you ever wondered where something is found? Whenever my wife sends me to the grocery store with a list, I'm always puzzled about where certain groceries are found. And so I wander around the store for a while until I finally find what I was looking for. And it probably takes me 5 times longer than it would than if she just went in and grabbed it, because she knows exactly where it's at. I don't know exactly where it's always at. And when you think about it, we don't have to wonder or wander looking for where true blessing is found, because the Bible tells us. It says in verse 1, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Now the question is, what is to be blessed? What does it mean according to the Bible? Because we shouldn't get our definition from the world, we should get it from the Bible. And according to the Bible, to be blessed is to be highly favored due to God's grace being bestowed upon you, and therefore is to have this happy state, the good life, so to say, but it's the good life defined by God. It's not defined by our culture. It's a good life defined by God. And so when you think about what the psalm is saying, it really blows you away then. Because it's saying, blessed is, meaning you can know and experience what true blessing is. Meaning true blessing is possible in this life. It is a true blessed state because God declares it. And think about this, if God declares something blessed, it actually is. Whatever he says is blessed, that's what it is. It truly is blessed. Meaning it's not some fake blessing, it's not some counterfeit blessing where it looks like it's blessing but it's really not. No, it is. And we look around us often in the world around us and we see so much counterfeit blessing. And we see it on, maybe it's social media or the entertainment news or whatever it may be. We look around and we see people who seem to have it all. And to many people, they think, that's the good life. That's the blessed life. And yet, a lot of times when you look below the surface of these things, below the surface of many people who may have attained these things, we realize that that's not really the good life. And many of these people, they are miserable. They may have so much money and possessions and fame, and yet they are not satisfied. They are not happy with what they have. Now, this passage doesn't say true blessing is found in those things. And yet, it doesn't mean that true blessing is impossible to find. Rather, there is a blessed state that is possible, meaning it's available, and it's a state that is of everyone who fears the Lord. And so we see the source of the blessedness is God. In him and through him, you can be blessed. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? When you think about who God is in the story of Scripture, it makes sense. Because true blessing must come from him alone. Right? It can only come from him alone. You think about, he is the creator and he is the ultimate blesser. Think about, he created life and good and blessing itself. And so you can't go outside of him. It must come from God. And so you try to find blessing outside of the Lord, it doesn't make sense. You're looking for water, but you're walking away from a river to go into the desert. It's like you're moving away from the true source when you look outside of God for blessing. Blessing must come down. It cannot originate somewhere else. because that's not where it's found. That's why you think of James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. And so you have to remember that true blessing will not be found out of you, outside in the world. It's not even going to be found within you. It's going to be from God Himself. To find blessings, you must look up, because they have to rain down. They flow down to you. And so that's why it is a proper relationship with the Lord that opens up the gate to blessing, so that that blessing can channel down to you. It's that relationship to God Himself, the ultimate blesser. Notice it says, blesses everyone who fears the Lord. And each part is important. Blesses everyone who fears the Lord, because it doesn't say blessed is no one. Like no one can ever be blessed. It doesn't say that. And it doesn't even stop with blessed is everyone. It doesn't just stop there, does it? Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, and that's important. The people who have a good in life are really the people who have a right relationship with the Lord God. That's what it's saying. The people who have the blessed life have a right relationship with God. Many times as Christians, we are seen as those not blessed. We are seen as those who are kind of disregarded, put down by others. But this psalm is showing us fear of the Lord is the vital requirement for blessing. And therefore, if someone does not fear the Lord, they are assuredly not blessed. They are not blessed. No matter how often or what our world says, is that these people are blessed. If they do not fear the Lord, they are not blessed, according to God. Now, fearing the Lord, it sounds confusing. It sounds confusing at first, because when we think of fearing someone, we think of hiding under the covers from the boogeyman or something like that kind of idea. But when the Bible talks about fear of the Lord, it's somewhat different than that. And I'll define it this way. Fear of the Lord is a profound respect, reverence, and awe for the Lord that impacts how you think and how you live. It's a profound respect, reverence, and awe for the Lord that impacts the way you think and live. So think about Abraham. God calls Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac on the altar, and Abraham is willing to do it, but of course, in that moment before he does it, the angel of the Lord says this, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And so you see Abraham's faith and his reverential obedience to the Lord is an example of someone who fears God, who has a fear of the Lord. And so when you think about it, it's obedience, but it's really this reverential and loving obedience, meaning it's not out of rote obedience out of mere trepidation. But even the fear of the Lord, it talks about someone who delights in God's commandments. And so it's not just sort of cowering in fear, but it's this loving, reverential submission to God as God. And therefore, when you think about fear of the Lord, it is actually a couple things combined, all integrated together. It is, of course, fear, but is also awe and love, all sort of combined into one. And that's really what fear of the Lord is. And that's why, you know, Psalm 147:11 can say, "The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him, in those who hope in His steadfast love." You can see there, it's not just this dreadful fear and that's it, but it's also this love and hope in God and reverence and awe for Him all packaged into one. And so blessing comes from a relationship with the Lord. Remind yourself that blessing comes from a relationship with the Lord. You see, the source is the Lord Himself, and the channel of blessing is like our relationship to Him. Of love, reverence, and awe. And so we don't just magically become blessed because we say the right word. Like, okay, I fear the Lord, I'm going to be blessed. But it has to be, what I mean by that is it has to be from our hearts. It can't just be this mechanical thing. It can't be empty and ritualistic where we, as long as we do these things, we're good. No, it's those who truly demonstrate that fear of Him with their right mindset and attitude and lifestyle. Because God has always been after our hearts, not merely just kind of mechanical actions and motion. And so do you truly know the Lord? Do you fear Him and love Him and stand in awe of Him? Do you have that this healthy fear of Him? Do you love Him? Know that true blessing is found in Him. And guess what? It's available to anyone and everyone. Because look at how it says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. And so it's showing us it's available to all those who simply fear the Lord. You fear the Lord, there's blessing. And it's available to everyone. Meaning there's no barrier that you can't get over. Because you think about our world's version of the blessed life. And in many cases, it's like there are some barriers to being able to get the blessed life. Right? Because if you say the blessed are the rich, man, a lot of us are out of luck. Right? Or it's like hard to get there. Or if you say, hey, blessed are the famous. Well, that leaves out, I think, probably all of us in this room, right? Blessed are the powerful. Or blessed are those who are born in this certain family, right? And it's like a lot of these things, like there's barriers to that. It's really hard or it's impossible to get the blessing that the world is saying, the good life that the world is saying. Well, guess what? The Bible is showing us that the true blessing doesn't have this unattainable barrier, that barrier that I cannot scale. No, you simply have to go to the Lord for it. It's open to everyone who goes to the Lord and fear the Lord and love and bows the knee to Him. It's open to those who would do that. You see, this all points to the blessing of receiving blessing. You see, there is a blessing of receiving blessing. And it's all of grace. It's because it's grace. It's not based on our works. It's based on our trust in the Lord. And we're simply fearing the Lord. We're trusting. We're loving. We're standing in awe of the Lord. You see, blessing is a gift from God for those who simply go to Him in faith. Because you think about grace, what is it? I like to put it as undeserved good. Undeserved good. It's receiving undeserved good. And that is what happens for those who fear the Lord. And when you think about what this passage is promising, it's without a doubt promising this astonishing grace to people. Because you think about in the context of the Bible, of the storyline of the Bible, and this is amazing. Because you think about, let's go back to Genesis. Genesis gives us the state of the world. Why are we in the state of the world that we are in? And we see that, hey, God created everything good. He created man and woman, and it was good. And yet, what did they do? They sinned against Him, plunged the whole world into the state of corruption. And so, even though Adam and Eve, they started out with this utmost blessing, they then spurned His grace. And in rebellion and lost that perfect state of a blessing. And yet amidst this fallen world, what is the Bible showing us? You can still experience blessing even in a fallen world. You can still experience blessing. So the Creator God, who we sin against, promises blessing to us. I mean, just think about it in light of what we did, we shouldn't be able to receive any good, any blessing at all. And yet God promises a state of blessing amidst that sin-cursed world. That is a marvel. We can receive blessing even while being prior rebels to His will. That is something. And so there is blessing in being able to receive, be called blessed when you see it in light of the big picture of Scripture. And it just goes to show who our God is, that He is so loving and so merciful, so gracious, and so patient. And really, when you see these, the things, the blessings found in this psalm, and you see them in light of the curses of the fall, it's really like glimpses of grace. Because you think about it, remember how the ground, it would be cursed, right, by God in Genesis 3. Well, now in this psalm, it says, you can eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. Of course, it's still going to be hard, but man, you can, the blessing of you can eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. Remember, he says to eat, in pain you shall bring forth children. Of course, there's still pain in childbirth, but now this psalm promises a wife who is a fruitful vine, right? Genesis 3, everything sounded horrible when God gives us these the consequences for our sin and the curse. And yet amidst that sin-cursed world, what does God promise? It shall be well with you. The possibility that it can be well with you. Even in this fallen state, even in this sin-cursed world, it can be well with you. What a promise. What a God we serve. He gives blessings to sinners. He gives blessing to the undeserving. Even in a sin-cursed world, he doesn't have to do that. But he does. So you think about the blessings promised to the Israelites here, and you see some things come out, right? The blessing of enjoying the fruit of your labor, so their work wouldn't be in vain, like it is possible. Remember in Psalm 127 that your work can be in vain? Well, here it's showing that to be blessed means a part of that is your work wouldn't be in vain. It would be well with them. They can have a growing family of sort of this wife as a fruitful vine, this image of having many children, and the children being like olive shoots, which sort of pictures longevity and fruitfulness and things like that. And but not only that, they're promised long life, being able to see Jerusalem flourish, peace, being able to see their grandchildren, right? So these, so many good blessings that was promised to Israel. But the question is, does this psalm promise for us that if we just fear the Lord, man, you're going to have a long life and you're going to see your grandchildren and all that stuff? Well, it's important to remember the context of this psalm, right? The context is given in the Old Covenant. And in the Old Covenant, God made promises to Israel about physical, material blessings many times. When they obeyed, here's these physical material blessings in many cases. But for us now, we're of course, we are not Israel, we are not in the new covenant, and so we don't necessarily have those material blessings promises to us because we're not that Israel nation and things like that. But you think even the context of individual Israelites back in that day, they didn't always experience this prosperity. I mean, just look through the book of Psalms and you see the lament Psalms and they're saying the wicked are prospering. I'm not. And so you see even in the lament Psalms, you think about the life of Job, right? And so you see even with that, that reality as well. But this is sort of a wisdom Psalm. It's showing this snapshot of the ideal blessed life for an Israelite, right? And so it's really pointing out that ideal and that picture of that. But for us, you think about in the context of the new covenant, and Jesus comes onto the scene, and he gives the Beatitudes. And in the Beatitudes, we see that our life isn't just going to be, you know, no tears and richness, and material richness and things like that. Because what does he say? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Even in Luke, I think he's explicitly, blessed are the poor. Right? And he says, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. And so we see for us that true blessing doesn't necessarily mean that right now we're going to be rich and we're never going to shed a tear. But the truth is, we are blessed in Christ. Jesus says, blessed are, and tells us that true blessing can be found in him. And it shows us that the blessing that we can experience often transcends those temporary material blessings. They're so much better. And someday we get to experience the greatest blessings when Christ comes again. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that we are mere paupers right now, because the Bible says we're rich in Christ. May not be according to our bank account, but there's so much better riches in life than your bank account. For he says in Ephesians, blessed that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He says that our needs are supplied according to the Lord's riches. Jesus says, even if you leave houses and family now, that someday you will receive a hundredfold and will inherit eternal life. And so there's these blessings amidst mourning and the hardships of life, so that we can say, like Habakkuk, who said this, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no fruit, the flocks be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. And so though we may not have loads of material blessings, we are still blessed in Christ. And even we shall truly eat the fruit of our labor, our good works, because Paul says, in the Lord our labor is not in vain. It's not in vain. It can be well with us. You think about that hymn, it is well, right? Showing that it can still be well with us, even in the hardships of life, because our souls are secure in Him and we have all that we need. And so we see there is blessing found in the Lord. And one author pointed out just a bunch of ways that we as Christians are blessed. And I want you to just think about one of these things, dwell upon them, let them sink into your heart. And remind your heart how in Christ, if you believe in Christ, how these things are true and how blessed you truly are. He says this, we have an acceptance that can never be questioned, an inheritance that can never be lost, a deliverance that can never be excelled, a grace that can never be limited, a hope that can never be disappointed, a joy that need never be diminished, a nearness to God that can never be reversed, a peace that can never be disturbed, a righteousness that can never be tarnished, and a salvation that can never be canceled. Consider how truly blessed you are in Christ. Consider it. Do you see these blessings? Do you see them as blessings? Are you grateful for the blessings that God has given to you? Thank God for all He has done and freely given by His grace. Because all of these things, they come to us, even though we don't deserve them, they come to us. Just simply by putting our faith in Jesus Christ, we are now blessed in Him. And yet that's how God works. He works in grace. He works in mercy. And so the things that we have are only because of Him. It's said that the author Alex Haley had this unusual picture hanging on his office wall. And it was this picture of a turtle sitting on top of a fence post. And so when someone asked him, why is it there? He said, every time I write something significant, every time I read my words and think they're wonderful and begin to feel proud of myself, I look at the turtle on top of the fence post and remember that he didn't get there on his own. He had help. Our blessed state is not because of us. It's because of someone else. We are like that turtle on top of the fence post. We are only there because of someone else. It was the Lord. And so we go to the Lord. And He does the work, because true blessing comes from Him. And so what should we do in response? And so go to the Lord for blessing. Go to Him for blessing. You think about some of the teachers that we have, and some of the best ones are the ones who not only just simply teach a concept, but they demonstrate what that concept looks like. And so, you know, you think about a teacher, let's just say a teacher who's teaching you how, archery, right? How to shoot a bow and arrow. And he teaches you only from the textbook. Okay, you know, that's nice. It's good to know these things. But it really makes a difference when a teacher teaches from the textbook, but then shows you with a bow and arrow. Okay, this is where you put your hand. This is how you put the arrow on. Right, they're demonstrating. What does it actually look like to do archery? And that's a little like the psalmist here. Because in verses 1 to 4, he explained all about, hey, this is what the blessed life is. This is what it looks like. And all of that. And then in verses 5 to 6, it's like he's demonstrating, what does it look like for someone to go to God for blessings? Because that's what he does. He prayerfully asks the Lord for this continual blessing upon the people. And he shows us that we should pray to the Lord for blessing. Like, do we actually go to the Lord for continued blessing in our lives? Because you think about that one benediction that, you know, says bless us and keep us and make a face shine upon us and things like that. Do you go to the Lord and say, Lord, please bless me and keep me. Make your face shine upon me. Be gracious to me and give me peace. Do you pray this way? By continually going to him, we show that and understand I have to find blessing from him. He's the source, not myself, not the world. I have to go to him in prayer, to go to him in longing for these things, because in him and through him is where true blessing is found. The psalmist's desire for the Israelites was the prosperity of Jerusalem, long life, seeing your grandchildren, peace for Israel. And you think about this, what is he really asking for? And he's asking that the community of God's people would thrive. That they would thrive. That's what he's praying for. That's what he's asking God for the people. And likewise, we should want others to experience the blessing of God. Meaning we should want others and pray for others to thrive in Christ. We should pray for our church to thrive in Christ. Like, don't you want to see our church be used, or even others be used, to see more souls saved, to see people growing and discipled in Christ, more people serving, more people's marriages and relationships being in a healthy spot? Don't you want to see more holiness among us, more love, more unity? The Lord bless you from Zion. I want to see you thrive in Christ. And this doesn't mean that we won't sin against each other. It doesn't mean that we won't have trials and hardships and setbacks. No, but we can flourish in the Lord. Yet the truth is we must go to him in prayer. We must ask. We must plead with him and see that he is what we need. And so we depend on him. We go in constant prayer. We go in reverential fear. And we understand that the Lord has to be in this, as we learned a couple weeks ago. The Lord has to be in this, or it's all in vain. He must go with us. He must bless us and help us. And so go to the Lord for blessing. That's where blessing is found, is when we go and seek the Lord's face. We have certain blessings, of course, in Christ, and so we rely upon that. But you think about Paul, he still asks for blessing upon people. How did he often begin and end his epistles? Grace and peace to you. That's a desire for more grace, more peace, more blessings upon people. And so that's what we do. But we go to the Lord for blessing because only he has it. There's a story of a young boy who went into the grocery store, the local store, with his mom. And so the shop owner was a kindly man, and so he passed him this large jar of candy and invited him to, hey, grab a handful out and help yourself. Uncharacteristically, the boy held back, and so the shop owner just uses his own hand to grab out a bunch and give to the boy. And so the young boy and his mother, they go outside, and so the mother asked him, you know, like, why were you so shy? Why didn't you just take a handful of candy when you were offered? And the boy replied and said this, because his hand is bigger than mine. His hand is bigger than mine. And the truth is, when we try to grasp blessing ourselves, we come up with way less than when we go to God and let him give us blessing. Because undoubtedly, his hand is bigger than ours. And so this psalm is reminding us the Lord blesses. The Lord blesses those who fear him. And so we go to him. We are all longing, as I said earlier, they are all longing for that blessed life. But what is the true blessed life in your mind? Is it more in line with the world's view, or is it more in line with the Lord's view? Because one is true and one is false. Because God is showing this is what true blessing is found. And so remind yourself that one is going to bring you true blessing and joy and satisfaction. The other is going to keep you longing and longing for more. And the world will try to paint the rich and the powerful and the popular and the beautiful as the blessed ones, but we know better. We know better because the Lord says the blessed ones are who? Those who fear the Lord. It's in Him. It's in Him and through Him that we find the blessed life, and so we go to Him. We go to the fountain of life, fountain of blessing and forgiveness and love and grace and mercy, and we can be satisfied in Him. Because really the New Testament shows us that it's all through Christ that we receive these blessings. That because He died and rose again and our simple faith in Him, we are blessed. Because Scripture says, blessed is a man against whom the Lord will not count as sin. And guess what? If you believe in Jesus Christ, that's you. That He doesn't count my sin against me because Jesus paid for it. And I am blessed because I'm forgiven in God's sight. We may not have seen Jesus in person, but we still believe. And Jesus says, you're blessed because of that. And now in Him, we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And when we stand firm, steadfast under trial, the Bible says we are blessed. Because we will receive the crown of life. And we are blessed if we get to eat the marriage supper of the Lamb because we trust in Jesus. The Bible says you are blessed. And so what a blessing it is to be Christ's. We have so much because of Him. And so we rest and be thankful for what we have. And we keep going to Him for the blessings of life, of grace and love and peace and joy. And so we keep going back to the source, knowing it's found in Him. And so this morning, truly we can say, along with the psalmist, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, because we as Christ followers have experienced it. And we know it. And yet we also long for that day where we get to fully experience the ultimate blessings, the ultimate blessed state when Christ comes again and we can live in the new heaven and the new earth. Let's pray. Dear good and gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that You truly are the creator and sustainer of the world, but Lord, You are also, in grace, the ultimate and true blesser. And so I pray that we would always remember that truth and we'd always go to You and not to look outside of You, but to look to You and cling to You, because You are the one who defines blessing and gives blessing. And so help us to go to You, Lord. We often fail You. Lord, we stumble, we fall, we sin against You, and yet in grace, You still reach out Your hand in mercy and grace, and You long for us to come to You and to cling to You and find that true blessing and find that joy that can be found in You. Lord, we thank You. Lord, we love You. And we pray that, and I pray that You would just impact these truths on our heart. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We pray that you were encouraged by the sermon today. This sermon was preached at First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information about our church, you can visit our website at fbcclearfield.com. May God grant you grace and peace as you look to Him today.